Grace to you all and peace from God in heaven and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You all know the story. Three wise men travel from the east following a new star in search of the baby Jesus. The star leads them to a stable in Bethlehem where they find the newborn king, the Messiah, whose coming the heavens foretold. Then they worship Jesus, give him standard baby gifts, frankincense, gold, myrrh, usual stuff, and then head home by another way, having been warned in a dream to avoid King Herod, who was scheming to kill Jesus. You even know the song. We sang it together. You don't have to sing it now. We three kings of Orient are. So, you who know the story so well, would it surprise you to know they weren't kings? Not that we know of, at least. If you think again about the story, there's nothing in there that hints at royalty in the biblical account. In fact, they weren't described as kings, even in churches, until the middle of the 4th century, and then as part of a political effort to legitimize the emerging class of Christian kings. Would it surprise you further to learn that we have no idea if there were three of them? Nowhere in the Bible does it say three. Tradition assumes three, perhaps because there were three gifts, but I think it's totally possible that there were at least a couple freeloaders who from the back of the stable said, "And Mary, that frankincense is really from all of us." And now, would it absolutely blow your mind to consider the possibility that they were not wise? That interpretation and the nickname, the wise men, only gained popularity around the time of the 18th century Enlightenment, when everyone thought they were wise. What do you think of people who make major life decisions based on the movements of stars and planets? Is wise the first word that comes to mind? I learned that Pastor Hammerston is a Gemini, which means she's like a cup of coffee, strong, robust, and full of energy. That one actually works. But Pastor Freeman told me she was half Libra and half Scorpio. I didn't know that it was possible to be half of two different zodiac signs. I read about her. Congratulations. I assume you're enjoying all the success you've achieved over the past several weeks. I'm an Aries, the first sign of the zodiac calendar, a fire sign, a sign ruled by Mars. So, according to Gwyneth Paltrow, when Venus is in my second house, or Mars is in my 8th house, I think, I should anticipate getting wealth from unanticipated sources. And that's very difficult to do, I think you'll understand. So my question to you, good people of Mount Olivet, when those stars line up, would you trust me with your retirement funds? No? You think my financial planning philosophy is founded on unreliable nonsense? How dare you? Well, guess what? Many people in the ancient world regarded star readers with the same skepticism we do today. That might be surprising to you. You might think that that was a reliable, compelling science, a way of knowing for them. It was, in a way, it was popular, but it's popular today too. Tacitus, a Roman politician and historian active shortly after Jesus' lifetime, who actually chronicled some of the events from Jesus' life, referred to the astrology of people like the Magi as absurdities. And astrologers like the Magi were banished from Rome at least 8 times in the centuries before and after Jesus' birth in attempts to sweep riffraff out of the imperial capital. But we and indeterminate number of pseudoscientific stargazers was not very catchy. And the boys looked so good in their costumes today, so I think we'll indulge the tradition a little longer here at Mount Olivet, at least. You've heard the saying, a broken clock is right twice a day, or even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. Maybe we could add to these Even the Magi got it right once. Yeah, these guys got it right in Bethlehem. But I wonder if there were other Magi who had roamed about the countryside before, showing up in little towns and villages, announcing they had arrived to pay homage to the newborn Lord, only to be met with confused or pitying looks. There are no babies here. I actually prefer this way of reading the story. I like the idea that the Magi were clumsy, credulous, superstitious seekers, fumbling around for truth in every star chart or horoscope they could get their hands on. It turns out that God can even lead fools to Jesus. Speaking for myself, at least, I find that extremely comforting. There is so much truth swirling around. How can you know which truth to believe? Even just within the big, broad Christian church, there are so many voices clamoring for your attention, and so many of them say such different things. To whom should you listen? Think of the numberless stars piercing that dark, ancient sky. How did those Magi know which one to follow? God can lead even fools through all that noise to Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote in his first letter to the church in Corinth, "Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? In the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, could not find God." Jesus as the Messiah makes no worldly sense. Worldly wisdom would never look for the Lord in a manger, and the cross confounds all logic and expectations. Death as victory? A king not enthroned but crucified? It all looks so tragic, a folly, and only fools would think otherwise. Perhaps only fools would have ventured out to follow a star across the sands and mountains in search of a king in a barn. Much wiser, I think, to stay safe at home. Paul continued in his letter to the Corinthians, "The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God stronger than human strength." On Epiphany, we celebrate the revelation of God through Jesus Christ to the whole world, beyond Israel's borders, beginning with the so-called wise men. Thanks be to God, who in God's infinite wisdom delivered the gift of the Savior to fools like us everywhere. Amen.